What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chasing Clarity Health and Fitness Podcast. This is your host, Brandon DeCruz, and today is episode 95, where we're going to discuss the topic of the benefits of taking a lean building approach versus a dirty bulking approach. And we're also going to cover the optimal rate of gain for muscle growth. But before I do that, I do want to do a recap of last week's episode and then get into today's episode. But I also just want to let everyone know that we are going to be having an educational seminar, which I'll actually be presenting at, which is going to be the Against the Grain Charity Seminar. And this event will be coming up very shortly. So by the time that this episode is released, we'll actually, so I'm doing this in advance, we'll actually be a week out, but you guys will still have the opportunity to get tickets. And this event will be taking place on Friday and Saturday, February 9th and 10th, and will be held at Iron Health Strength and Conditioning gym, which is actually Jeff Black's gym. So if anyone is familiar with obviously my co-host, but with also the Nashville, Tennessee area, it's going to be at one of the best gyms in the area. It's going to be a two-day presentation. And the presentation I'm going to be doing is entitled The Lean Gains Blueprint, Nutrition for Maximizing Muscle Growth. So if you guys have listened to the last few episodes of the show where I've covered building phases and you want to learn even more of like the nitty-gritty details behind how to optimize your nutritional approach for gaining lean muscle tissue while mitigating excess fat gain, definitely come join us in Nashville. The unique aspect of this seminar, and if you guys have been a listener of the show for quite some time, you know that I've done every single year I've presented at different seminars around the country, but something a little bit different about this year's seminar is that it's actually going to be a charity seminar. So 100% of the proceeds will benefit Vanderbilt Children's Hospital, and the tickets are only $105 each, which is the least expensive seminar ticket that I've seen anywhere in this industry. So it really is just for a good cause. So if you're someone who has a passion for fitness, it's someone that is, you know, you want to level up your approach, or you're a fellow fitness professional and or coach, and you want to be able to expand your skill set, I really do encourage you to come join us at the seminar, as it's not only for a great cause. So that's first and foremost a really good reason to come out, you know, in and of itself, but it's also going to be a great educational experience and a great opportunity to network with like-minded individuals. So if you guys have any questions about the event, feel free to reach out to me. I'd love to see any of you down there. So if you are planning on coming, definitely hit me up, whether it be through email or through DM on Instagram, and let me know, because I would love to be able to meet any and all of you guys, while I'm out there and while I'm presenting. So this week's episode is going to be part two of my Nutrition for Muscle Gain series, which started with last week's episode, which was episode 94, where we compared building versus cutting phases and the benefits of getting outside of a mindset of restriction and into a mindset of abundance and addition. And in that episode, I covered topics including why your summer body is built in the winter, the benefits of going into a building phase to improve your long-term physique outcomes, the goal of building phases in and of themselves, why we want to be out of a deficit and to maximize muscle gain, and why you're not going to be able to diet your way to the physique of your dreams, essentially, or, you know, essentially to a leaner, more muscular physique. I also spoke about the benefit of going up to maintenance calories and beyond, other topics, including, you know, why you want to be in a slight surplus to maximize muscle gain. I compared the rate of muscle gain versus fat loss, as well as why slow and steady approaches are the best, both in the context of fat loss phases, but also in the context of muscle gain phases. So right now I'm 2+ months into a lean building phase of my own, and I'm taking a slow and steady approach to this process, which requires a lot of patience, but ultimately I know that this is worth it for my personal physique goals. And also, as I'll cover on today's podcast, there are a lot of benefits of taking a lean building approach to nutrition for muscle gain. So before we get into today's topic, I want to do a quick recap of the importance of building phases and the goals of a lean building phase. So first and foremost, it's important to realize that we build the foundation of our physique during a building phase, whereas the fat loss phases are where physique refinement takes place. So if you're someone who's currently not satisfied with your body composition yet, you've only been focusing on the fat loss side of things, you're doing yourself a disservice in terms of the physical and mental progress you can achieve by getting out of a deficit and sufficiently fueling yourself to improve how you perform in the gym, how you feel, how you function, and the overall look, shape, and muscular development of your physique, as we can't build a lean muscular physique from nothing. So you can't, you know, sculpt, you know, a pebble out of a rock that isn't there, essentially. So we need, you know, resources, and we need to build a foundation to be able to reveal a physique that we're truly happy with. Now, today we're going to dive into lean building phases versus dirty bulking approaches to muscle gain. However, it's important to start out by first outlining the goals of a lean building phase, which are to accrue lean mass, to minimize excess fat gain, to improve our training performance in the hypertrophy rep ranges, meaning anywhere between, say, 5 to 6 reps on the low end, up to 25 to 30 reps on the high end. But most of the work, most of your training should be within, like, say, the 6 to 20 rep range. We want to enhance our strength development and our progression within our strength. And then we also want to focus on physique and performance progression and on body composition improvement, not just scale weight gain. That's a really important aspect because it's not about chasing a higher scale weight. That is an indication that you are gaining tissue. However, it's not a goal of just chasing a higher scale weight week in and week out just for the sake of gaining weight. We are really trying to maximize muscle gain, which is a slow process. So it's a slow and steady increase in your scale weight over time, but it isn't something that should be drastic and you shouldn't be, seeing pounds and pounds come on week in and week out, because that would actually be less conducive for the goal of a lean building phase. And that would be more along the lines of what we see many do, which is the dirty bulking approach, which often leads to excessive fat gain, which I know a lot of people out in the audience, and then also just speaking in the context of the clients that I coach, I know that that's not their goal. They want to maximize muscle gain, but they also want to mitigate and reduce the propensity of gaining increased fat mass, essentially. All right, so now on to getting into the topic of calorie intake and rate of gain for muscle growth. The first thing we need to focus on when trying to maximize our lean gains in a building phase is our calorie intake and what state of energy balance we're going to be in to build muscle, meaning are we going to be eating in a calorie deficit, or are we going to be at maintenance calories, or are we going to be in a slight surplus? And although some individuals can build muscle while eating in a calorie deficit, being in a deficit does not allow you to maximize your ability to gain muscle, as dieting is more of a catabolic process, meaning we're burning energy and trying to oxidize stored fuel substrates like our body fat to fuel our activities rather than being in an anabolic environment where we have sufficient fuel and energy resources available to build the maximum amount of lean muscle tissue possible. And being in a calorie deficit has been shown to reduce muscle protein synthesis rates and levels by between 19 to 27% in research, which would limit the total amount of muscle that we can build, as stimulating muscle protein synthesis is the main process by which we synthesize new muscle proteins and actually add contractile muscle tissue, so the actual accrual of lean mass, to our body. So when you're in a substantial deficit and you're losing weight, your body isn't as responsive to protein intake and isn't able to stimulate the building of muscle mass as well. And we also see increased rates of muscle protein breakdown, where there's an increase in protein being used as a fuel source, especially in those who are already lean to begin with, which is why building muscle in a calorie deficit is more difficult and occurs much, much slower than building muscle in a surplus. We also have to consider some of the effects and adaptations that come from being in a deficit, such as the diet-induced metabolic adaptations we can incur with weight loss, which include various things that we've covered on the show before, but some of them that are really going to alter our state of anabolism as well as hinder our ability to gain muscle is we see a lowering of sex hormone production, where our levels of testosterone and estrogen decline. We see an increase in catabolic hormones like cortisol and a decrease in anti-catabolic hormones like insulin, which all compound to limit our rates of anabolism and hinder our ability to lower the rates of muscle protein degradation, aka muscle breakdown, which, if we really think about it as a multifactorial equation, essentially, it's essentially like a cake. We want muscle protein breakdown to be lower. We want rates of muscle protein synthesis to be higher. We want to be in an anabolic state. So being in a deficit is putting you in a state that is less conducive for muscle gain. So really what we want to do is shift out of that state of being in a calorie deficit and put, stack the cards in our favor, stack the deck in our favor to be able to gain muscle at the highest rate and the most efficient and effective rate possible. And as a coach, I always aim to put my clients in the best position to succeed for their specific body composition related goals. And when a client comes to me with the goal of gaining a substantial amount of muscle to shape and improve the overall look and strength of their physique, the first thing I want to do from a nutrition and calorie intake perspective is to ensure that they're not in a deficit and not underfueling themselves or engaging in habits and practices that could limit their ability to gain muscle. And these could include things like training fasted, under eating protein, not fueling themselves before and after training, so not utilizing the principle of nutrient timing, going long periods of the day without eating, or under eating all day only to overeat at night. So these are many habits that I see many people come to me and many clients. I'm going through their intake or I'm discussing their nutritional habits and their schedule, And I'm realizing these are bottlenecks that are holding them back from reaching the best physique that they can. But also, with these same clients, there's a correlation between those habits as well as their frustrations in terms of not being able to gain muscle. A lot of times, these are the type of individuals that come to me and they say that they really dislike their body composition. They feel, quote unquote, skinny fat, which I hate that terminology. However, essentially, what we're getting to is the fact that they're under-muscled and they have an excess amount of body fat for the physique that they're really desiring and what they really want to get to. And so, if someone has the goal of maximizing muscle gain, I'm going to aim to put them a bit above their maintenance calorie intake to put them in the best position to succeed in the pursuit of this goal, as muscle growth is already a slow and challenging process to achieve. So, my aim is to stack the deck in their favor. And two main ways I can do that from a coaching perspective is to first and foremost optimize their approach to training so that they're training in a progressive manner that's designed to maximize muscle hypertrophy. And then on top of that, I'm trying to pair their nutrition and their training, or their training and their nutrition rather. And so, what I'm trying to do is the second component of that is I'm ensuring they're sufficiently fueled to be able to gain muscle at the most effective rate possible for them as a genetically unique individual. And whenever I'm creating a muscle gain program for a client and I'm looking to determine how much of a surplus a client will need to build muscle, I consider a bunch of factors based on that specific client that I'm working with. So it's not like I can just throw out this generic calorie surplus recommendation and it'll apply to every single one of you out there. Because what we have to realize, and really oftentimes I get these questions and people want these black and white answers. And that's the reason that I do a lot of the content that I produce or a lot of the questions that I answer. It's in long form content because I am a coach. I'm in the trenches with people. And I know that in the real world, it's not a black or white thing. There's so much context to be taken into consideration. And so, really, when it comes down to it, with my experience, I always keep in mind that coaching is both an art and a science. And the approach I take and the calorie surplus that I use will depend on many factors for that client. So I'm going to look at things like how long has this client been training for? What is their level of advancement? So is this client a beginner? Are they an intermediate or are they an advanced trainee? What is this client's training and nutrition history been like? Where is their current body composition starting at? And then how much muscle do they currently have? And how much muscle do they wish to gain or do they need to gain to achieve the type of physique they're coming to me looking to achieve? So, despite the fact that I work with clients of all different backgrounds, ranging from lifestyle clients to other fitness professionals, trainers, gym owners, dietitians, nutritionists, and coaches, the one common underlying factor and characteristic of the vast majority of clients who come to me is that these are all high achievers. So, essentially, what I'm getting to is they're high performing individuals, whether that be in fitness, in business, or in both. And so, what I find is that when muscle growth is the goal, the vast majority of clients I work with come to me. And what they're seeking is they want a coach who can optimize their approach for gaining as much muscle as possible while also limiting excess fat gain. Because oftentimes, what I have experienced or what I've noticed is that these are individuals that have either tried it on their own and they've gained an excessive amount of fat mass, or they've had, gone through other coaching systems or whatever it may be, and they just haven't been able to achieve the physique they want. So oftentimes, they're looking to me to be able to help them break past those barriers that they've encountered previously. Throughout the course of this podcast, I'm going to tackle this topic from the perspective of my average client and listener of the show who is focused on improving their physique through building more muscle, but isn't interested in gaining a ton of body fat in the process, as how they look and feel in their body is their main focus and goal that we're working towards improving together. So it's not just about getting as big as possible and gaining as much scale weight as possible and just being a larger human being and taking up more space. It's really about becoming a better version of themselves. And that's really what we're going to focus on today's podcast. So when it comes to nutrition for maximizing muscle gain, we first need to go over the nutritional hierarchy of importance for muscle growth to be able to lay the foundation for what needs to be focused on during a lean building phase. And when we look at the nutritional hierarchy of importance, the foundation to everything is your habits and your behaviors around nutrition. And this essentially refers to what you can do and will do consistently, as I can design a well-constructed diet designed to help you maximize muscle gain or to maximize body fat loss or whatever goal you have. But if you don't consistently follow it, you will not maximize your rate of progress, and most won't see the results that they desire. So we first need to start with focusing on consistency with your nutrition, because without consistency and adherence, your rate of progress will be hindered and you won't maximize your return on investment. Then from there, we have energy balance and protein intake. And essentially what this refers to is your total calorie intake and your total daily protein intake, which are the two most influential nutritional factors that will impact your body weight and your body composition. Then we get into the two other macronutrients. So these are carbs and fats, which are our energy sources and fuel substrates. Then on to micros, nutrient timing, and last but not least, we have supplements. And in order to maximize muscle gain from a nutritional perspective, there are a few boxes we need to tick to accomplish this goal. So first, we want to enter a slight calorie surplus to provide sufficient energy availability to have enough fuel for all of the physiological processes and for the process of building muscle. We also need enough energy, aka calories, to cover the metabolic adaptations associated with gaining muscle. Because what you have to realize is that when you increase muscle mass, this is metabolically active tissue, which is going to increase the total amount of calories you burn per day. So the more muscle you gain, essentially, you'll usually see that you will need and you will require more calories because your calorie expenditure is increasing as well. And we also need enough calories to make sure body mass is going up over time, because unless you have an excessive amount of fat on your body, aka stored energy, or you're brand new to training, the likelihood of you gaining a ton of new muscle without gaining, you know, body mass or actually seeing your scale weight go up, because remember, muscle is actual body mass in and of itself, it's fat-free mass. So the likelihood of you gaining a substantial amount of muscle without seeing the scale weight go up or your total body mass going up is unlikely, to say the least. Next, we want to ensure that we have adequate protein intake, both in terms of your total daily intake and then your distribution across the day to maximize anabolism and stimulate the process of muscle protein synthesis, which is required to grow new contractile muscle tissue. We also need adequate carbohydrate availability to fuel high-intensity training like bodybuilding, aka hypertrophy training, and to also enhance the recovery and recuperation processes, because without recovery, you can't adapt, and without recovery and adaptation, there is no growth. I also place a heavy focus and emphasis on building a diet for clients that's built on a foundation of whole foods. So the vast majority of your diet should be coming from whole food sources, including things like lean protein sources such as lean meats and low-fat dairy, vegetables, fruits, whole grains, and omega-3 essential fatty acids like fish oil or, you know, fatty fish sources, so that you not only hit your micronutrient needs, but also, or your macronutrient needs, but also your micronutrient needs. Then also there's a side benefit, which is something I've covered in many podcasts before, but by using mostly whole foods, we can lower our likelihood of overconsuming calories and accelerating our rate of fat gain, as the rate of muscle gain cannot be accelerated by just continuing to eat more and more food past a slight surplus. So eating a quality whole foods-based diet that satiates you is an important component of nutrition that many seem to overlook during their building phases. Now, next, I want to cover the most common mistakes many make when it comes to how they approach their nutrition during a building phase. So one mistake I see many make during their building phases is that they try to approach building muscle in the same manner and at the same rate that they do losing body fat, especially from a calorie adjustment, phase length, and timing perspective, as many are under the impression that they need to be in this massive surplus to grow and to build muscle. And whenever a new client comes to me, I do an in-depth consultation process where I analyze what approaches they've used in the past to get where they are currently. And I find that many of the clients who come to me with the goal of building muscle have this mindset that has really been shaped by what they've done previously. And they have this mindset around the more calories they eat, the more muscle they'll build. But the fact of the matter is you cannot, and let me say this very bluntly and make this explicit, you cannot force feed the process of growing muscle. What you need to realize is that eating more and more calories over time will yield a greater increase in your scale weight. But if you're taking in much more calories than what is needed to build muscle, which is generally maximized by using a slight and small calorie surplus, the majority of the weight you gain from that increase in calories and going way over and overshooting your calorie needs will be from an increase in fat mass, not muscle mass, which is not what most of you want. So building muscle is an energy costly process. So being in a slight surplus during a building phase is an effective way to set yourself up for success, as we want to ensure that you have enough nutrients and energy to fuel hard stimulative training and then also enhance recovery so that you can adapt to the demands of your training. But you cannot force feed muscle growth, nor will you be able to significantly accelerate your ability to accrue more muscle by just continuing to significantly bump calories up week in and week out, as many do in the opposite direction during a fat loss phase, where they just continue cutting more and more calories from their diet on a weekly basis. And if you're past the newbie phase of training, you will not maximize your muscle growth potential by simply hitting a slight, or if you are past the newbie stage of training, you will, you know, maximize your muscle growth potential by simply hitting a slight or moderate calorie surplus. However, going above that level of calories, you know, in terms of calories, will not increase the amount of muscle you gain, as there's a limit to how much new muscle you can synthesize and add in one period of time, especially as you get more and more advanced and experienced with resistance training. Now, on the other hand, any extra calories you do take in excess that aren't being used to build muscle will be stored in fat, which basically has an unlimited storage capacity and can be gained and added at a much, much higher and quicker rate per week and per month and obviously per year as compared to the rate in which you can gain new muscle tissue. A building phase should be a time where we focus on recovering and reversing the metabolic adaptations we sustained during our previous dieting phases. We slowly and strategically increase our calorie intake to fuel hard and progressive training and promote recovery. And then we increase how stimulative our training is from an intensity and output perspective, and we focus on making the desired improvements to our physique. Unfortunately, many tend to take this suboptimal approach to building phases, where they use this phase as a period to overindulge in junk food and slack off on their training and especially their cardio, which has negative ramifications on so many aspects of their body composition, their nutrient partitioning, their insulin sensitivity, their health markers, their ability to make progress, and most importantly, their overall health and longevity, both in terms of like their actual long-term health, but also in terms of longevity of actually staying within fitness and not getting frustrated and just falling off in all entirety. And far too many people treat a building phase, aka, quote unquote, the off season, as a time to force feed any and every type of food, thinking they can just force their rate of gain past the amount of muscle their body can physiologically gain on a week to week and a month to month basis, which is why so many end up putting on more fat than muscle and then end up being frustrated with their results. And these individuals are often left in a situation where they're left wanting to go right back into another aggressive dieting phase to lose the fat that they just gained, which can often lead these individuals to enter chronic yo-yo dieting cycles and/or to never give a building phase another try due to the poor experiences that they've had in the past due to the suboptimal, approaches that they've taken. And it's important to realize that we can only assimilate so much of a calorie surplus into muscle. So pounding an excessive amount of calories in food in the name of gains is something that needs to be avoided. And this is something that I really want to get across to you guys. And you have to realize that just because a professional athlete that or a bodybuilder that you see on IG can get away with eating fast food or junk every day and still get results in spite of what they do, doesn't mean that we should follow their lead, as genetics play a massive role in one's ability to stay lean and put on muscle as compared to gaining fat. So this is where it's really important to be selective about who you follow and what sources of information you choose to take in and even choose to look at, because oftentimes this can just lead to frustration where there's like this active comparison where you're comparing your approach as well as your progress and your journey with someone else's. And you really don't know, especially in the context of social media, how long has this person been doing this? Do they really eat like that on a daily basis? Are they only showing us their cheat meals that are on occasion, or do they really even eat those meals? Because I'll tell you guys, I've worked with many influencers over the years, and I also, from a professional standpoint, worked at many supplement companies that had sponsored athletes. And I remember being at dinners for, conferences that we were at, or we would be in an expo. And there would be individuals that were social media influencers that were on our team, and they would order, say, a burger and fries or something, an indulgent meal. And they would take a picture of them flexing in front of the actual meal. And then they would say, does anyone want this? Because they didn't actually eat those foods. They did it just to get likes and to be able to have some flashy picture of them shirtless at a restaurant, which was incredibly embarrassing for me to sit through, for me to like be in the same, dinner location or the same table as them, and they're taking off their shirt in the middle of a restaurant. But that's a story for another day. But at the same time, they didn't actually eat those foods. They ate very clean foods. They ate whole food based diet, and a lot of times it was more so they were doing this for the gram rather than giving you a realistic depiction of what they did on a daily basis. And overall, if you want to maximize your ability to gain muscle and avoid excess fat gain, you should be looking to take a slow and steady approach to a lean building phase rather than bouncing between extremes like so many do in the general population, where they yo-yo between extreme deprivation and aggressive deficits during their fat loss phases to overindulgence and excessive eating during their building phases, which is something we really should work on rectifying and taking a more moderate approach, a slower and steadier approach, which will lead to better muscle gain results as well as body composition outcomes in a building phase. But then also on the opposite end of the spectrum, when we take a slower and steadier approach to fat loss, we retain more muscle, we lose more body fat, and we have a, I don't want to say an easier experience, but a more conducive experience in terms of being able to mitigate the ramifications of aggressive dieting, as well as making sure our biofeedback is in check and we can maintain better training performance during that dieting phase. Next, I want to compare and contrast a lean building approach versus a dirty bulking approach to nutrition for muscle gain. And there's a reason that I specifically refer to the approach that I take with my clients for muscle gain as a lean building phase instead of a massing phase or bulking phase. And that's because the goal is to gain lean muscle mass, not excess body fat or even just weight in general. A lean building phase is a phase where we eat in a slight surplus aimed at maximizing muscle gain while mitigating and minimizing excess fat gain. And that's done by gaining at a slow and conservative rate of gain. Now, the reason why so many people are weary and hesitant to go into building phases is because either they've done it wrong in the past or they've seen someone else do it and get fat, and now they try to avoid it like the plague. Which is why it's important to realize that just because you're in a surplus doesn't mean that diet quality no longer matters, which is a mistake many make as they take a building phase and the calorie surplus that comes along with it as a period to loosen up the reins of their diet quality and their food selection. And their diets start to become comprised of more and more tasty, hyperpalatable food sources and processed foods. And this often results in most of these individuals engaging in a dirty bulk, whether they realize it or not, which often results in you overconsuming calories due to a lack of satiety. And the vast majority of people who get into these habits end up gaining an excessive amount of fat as a result. So in comparison to a lean building phase, a dirty bulk often occurs when someone enters a building phase and starts to incorporate more and more hyperpalatable foods, processed foods, and junk foods into their diet, and thus goes into a larger calorie surplus and gains body weight at a faster rate of gain, which ends up predisposing them to gaining a lot more fat throughout the process of this phase. And so the issue with taking a dirty bulking approach where food quality is poor, satiety is low, and calories are being overconsumed is you will gain an excess amount of fat, which will actually hinder your metabolic health instead of improve it, which is counterproductive to the goal of gaining muscle, as gaining muscle is a process that should improve your health, not diminish it. But if you're packing on a ton of fat in the process, you could actually get the opposite results that you're looking for, both in terms of a body composition outcome perspective and an actual, physique look perspective, but then also a metabolic health perspective. Now, there's no denying that these palatable and or processed foods are delicious and appealing, but those same qualities make them easy to overconsume, difficult to moderate our intake of and to control our calorie intake of, far less satiating and filling than whole food sources, and more calorie dense yet less nutrient dense, meaning they contain far more calories per gram and per serving, but far less micronutrients, including vitamins and minerals per serving. So this is why I'm a believer that even when you're going into a calorie surplus, the foundation of your muscle gain meal plan should still fall in line with the components of a healthy dietary pattern, meaning you should consume mostly lean protein sources, whole grains, fruits, and vegetables, unrefined complex carbs, and healthy fats, which most of those coming from unsaturated fats like mono and polyunsaturated fat sources and omega-3 essential fatty acids. So the foundation, aka the vast majority of your diet, should come from whole and unprocessed food sources that are nutrient dense and highly satiated. And then a small portion of your diet can come from tastier foods, and you can have some increased and additional flexibility in what food sources and choices you consume. But there shouldn't be a large or predominance, of your daily calorie intake coming from processed foods, hyperpalatable foods, and high calorie yet nutrient devoid food sources, as these type of food sources will not only leave you predisposed to overeat, but can also have negative impacts on your health, which is something that I covered on episode 64 in great detail. And that podcast was on processed foods versus whole foods and their effects on metabolism, calorie expenditure, and on metabolic health. So the next topic I want to cover are the drawbacks to taking a dirty bulking approach during a building phase. And then I'm going to contrast that with the advantages of taking the method that I utilize with both myself and clients, which is a lean building approach to muscle gain phases. So one of the most common mistakes I see many make when it comes to how they approach the nutrition for muscle growth is they put themselves into far too large of a calorie surplus, which often results, and also within that, what they do is they go into far too much of a calorie surplus, but also they're aiming for a fast rate of body weight gain per month or per week, which often results in these individuals packing on a ton of fat in the process of building muscle. And this leads them to either ending the building phase early because they're uncomfortable with how they look, or they make it to the end of a building phase, but they've accrued so much extra fat that their next fat loss phase ends up being far more difficult and requires them to diet far harder and for far longer to drop the excess body fat that they've gained. And often when I speak with individuals who take on this 30 bulking approach, it's clear that they were under the impression that they needed to be in a large calorie surplus to build muscle. So they got, essentially they get into this mindset where they think they need to eat big to get big and believe that the more calories they eat, it'll yield more muscle gain. However, the issue with this type of mentality and this approach is it's another extreme approach that doesn't yield favorable results. And it's essentially the same type of extreme mentality or extreme approach that many take to dieting, where they think that the more aggressive of a deficit they create and the less calories they eat, the more fat they will lose. And although you will lose more total body weight, the larger of a deficit you create, you will be also more predisposed towards losing lean mass, which not only hinders your body composition and the look of your physique, but also lowers your metabolism and your total daily energy expenditure. So when it comes to building and cutting phases, the best approach for most to take is a slow and steady approach, as I covered on last week's podcast, where we make calculated adjustments to your nutritional intake to stack the deck in your favor for getting the results you want from a body composition perspective. And this is why it's important to realize that nutrition for muscle growth isn't just about eating as many calories as you can, but rather it's about sufficiently fueling yourself for the demands of your training. And this is why I'm not a big believer in this eat big to get big mentality, because although eating more and more calories will yield a greater increase in your scale weight and in your total body mass, if you take this approach, you will put yourself in a position where much of that increase in body weight is coming from additional increases in fat mass and body fat rather than from increases in additional muscle mass. And building muscle is an energy intensive and costly process. So being in a surplus during a building phase is the best way to set yourself up for success, as we want to ensure that you have enough nutrients to fuel hard stimulated training and also enhance recovery so that you can recover and adapt to the demands of your training. But you cannot force feed yourself into gaining more muscle than you're capable of in any one period of time. So the fact of the matter is, you can essentially maximize your muscle growth potential by simply eating in a slight or moderate calorie surplus, especially if you're anywhere past the newbie stage of training. However, it's important to realize that going above a slight or moderate calorie surplus will not increase the amount of muscle you gain, as there's a hard cap to how much new muscle we can synthesize, build, and add at one period of time, especially within a short period of time, as muscle growth is a slow process in and of itself. So the best approach to ensure you maximize your ability to gain muscle and minimize your likelihood of gaining excess fat is to stay in a slight calorie surplus for an extended period of time rather than trying to rush the muscle growth process by going into a large surplus for a shorter period of time. So this is why I'm more of a fan and advocate for longer building phases that are done with a smaller calorie surplus and with a less aggressive or a more moderate rate of gain per week and per month, rather than taking this like expedited period where you take 8 weeks and you really push your calories and you go for a fast rate of gain, because often what that yields is just fat gain, not muscle gain. And we also don't have any quality research that shows that a massive or even a large calorie surplus stimulates the increase of muscle much more than a moderate surplus. But we do have several studies comparing large versus moderate calorie surpluses in both intermediate and advanced trainees. And these studies find that those in the large surplus group generally gain around the same amount of muscle tissue as those in the slight surplus group. Yet, they gain significantly more fat mass as compared to those in the small or moderate calorie surplus groups, which is why I avoid using massive surpluses with clients, as building muscle is a slow process that we can't rush or we can't speed up by simply stuffing more calories down our throat. Also, my goal with coaching clients is to help them get to their goals in the most effective and productive manner possible, but to also ensure that they're doing so in a healthy manner, which allows them to make fitness a long-term part of their lifestyle. So taking a dirty bulking approach would run counter to a lot of the goals that I'm aiming for with my clients. I think a lot of people also neglect to consider the downsides that taking a dirty bulking approach can have on their body composition, their health metrics, and their ability to stay in a building phase long enough to actually see substantial progress from a muscle building perspective, as taking a slower, more strategic approach allows for a greater runway of growth and allows us to stay in a building phase for substantially longer because you're accruing less body fat. So there is no need to go back into a dieting phase. And when you take an approach to muscle gain where you eat in too large of surplus, you're going to accumulate body fat quickly, which is going to drive up inflammation. It's going to decrease insulin sensitivity, which are all going to compound on one another. And this leads many to an unfavorable situation where your body composition is looking worse, just objectively and also visually. For every pound you gain, you're gaining more of that weight from fat mass than from lean mass. You're losing insulin sensitivity and putting yourself in a position where you increase the likelihood of developing insulin resistance, which can impair your nutrient partitioning and your metabolic health. your overall fitness and conditioning levels are declining, which can impair your ability to perform in the gym and even in your day-to-day activities, as well as it could potentially impair your recovery. And your digestion can start to take a hit, which is important because you are not what you eat, but rather what you can digest, assimilate, and absorb. And what usually happens when you take an aggressive approach to bulking is that eventually all these factors, they add up and they compound on each other. And you feel so uncomfortable with how you look and how you feel that you cut your building phase short, which limits the total amount of muscle you're able to gain. And all you really got out of that building phase was a higher amount of body fat that now you have to spend even more time, more additional time into dieting to get off. And you probably have to diet harder in order to do so. And I think many of us have made the mistake of taking a dirty bulking approach in the past and have seen the unfavorable effects it can have, which is why so many people tend to avoid building phases and would rather just focus on fat loss as their main goal. However, it's important to realize that these downsides aren't an inherent byproduct of building phases, but rather a result of taking a suboptimal approach to your nutrition for muscle gain, which is why I prefer to take a lean building approach to muscle gain for both myself and the clients that I work with. All right, so the last topic for today, and just to wrap this up, you know, I want to really go over the last aspect of this and really is what are the advantages to taking a lean building phase, especially for those that have not done this or for those of you out there that are hesitant or, you know, you're neglecting going into a building phase because of either a previous experience that was unfavorable or you've seen someone else go through a less than optimal, you know, building phase experience. So for those of you who have yet to take a calculated approach to their nutrition for muscle gain, I want to go through the advantages of taking a lean building approach to gaining muscle mass. And there are many advantages of taking a lean building phase method when it comes to how you approach your nutrition and diet for muscle gain, as compared to taking a dirty or an aggressive bulking approach. And using this lean building approach allows you to gain more lean mass and less fat mass with every pound that you gain. It leads to better insulin sensitivity and better nutrient partitioning, essentially, especially as you add more and more muscle, as muscle is basically a sink for storing carbohydrates and disposing of glucose. You will have better overall body composition, which will allow you to feel better, look better, perform better, and function better. It allows for better biofeedback, including better digestion, better health metrics, things of that sort. This approach also allows you to have a longer, more productive growth phase without needing as many mini cuts or going into dieting phases to drop the excess amount of body fat that you've gained. It leads you to having less additional fat to lose in your next fat loss phase, which leads to a less difficult next dieting phase in the future. It will help keep you more satiated and less likely to overeat calories and gain fat as a result of using higher quality, higher satiety food sources. It helps you better adhere to your nutritional targets, as you will have better appetite regulation and hunger management. So you'll be able to stay leaner throughout this phase, but also stay more consistent with your actual approach to nutrition, rather than if you were using hyperpalatable food sources, which are known to drive not only passive overconsumption, but excessive hunger and almost like a drive to eat more. It helps you have more consistent performance in the gym, helps you have better and more consistent digestion and digestive processes, and it helps you build and maintain better habits, which can then, you know, we can then leverage later on for your next fat loss phase. And another aspect of using a smaller surplus during building phases that many overlook is the health effects or the health benefits. And by taking a lean building approach, this allows us to maintain better metabolic health and blood work as a result of having a more nutrient-dense diet that provides not only the macronutrients needed to fuel muscle growth and performance, but also the micronutrients, including the vitamins, the minerals, and the cofactors needed for proper hormone production, enzyme creation, and to keep your physiology operating and running on all cylinders. I'm also big on tracking health metrics with my clients, and I've found that in those that I use a lean building approach with, they have better blood work, they have better hormone or better and healthier hormone levels. They have lower fasting glucose and fasting insulin values. They have healthier blood pressure and resting heart rates than they've had in the past when they've taken an aggressive approach to bulking. So we not only get better body composition outcomes and overall physique improvement during this phase, but we also maintain better metabolic health. And taking this type of lean building approach is something I've seen work extremely well with both myself and countless clients. So for anyone out there who wants to gain muscle or who fears going into a building phase because they haven't been able to have a productive growth phase to date, I really encourage you to shift your mindset on nutrition for muscle growth. And if any of you have the interest or have an interest in doing a lean building phase and you need any help, feel free to reach out to me, as this is a phase I take many clients through and have been doing so for many years. And so really what I try to do is I try to set them up in a position where we're able to maximize their ability to gain muscle mass while mitigating the excess amount of fat that they've gained in previous building or previous bulking phases. As always, guys, thank you for listening to another episode of the Chasing Clarity podcast. If you need anything from me, whether that be one-on-one coaching or Zoom consultations, please feel free to reach out to me on my email, which is bdecruzfitness@gmail.com, or you can find me on my Instagram, which is @BrandonDeCruz_. And also, please remember to follow the show, whether that be on Spotify or iTunes. Leave a review, preferably 5 stars, and share the episode on your stories so that we can continue to reach more listeners and to have a positive ripple effect on this industry. As my goal really is to bridge the gap between research and information and then practical application so that all of you out there can look better, feel better, function better, and live a life that includes walking around with better body composition and a mindset of abundance. As always, guys, thank you and have a great week.